All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 15th edition of the Threads of Time podcast. I've had a little run here where every podcast, the previous guest has talked about the next guest, and this one is no different, because in a previous podcast, I talked to Rando, for those of you that could actually get through that whole podcast without freaking out. And he was talking about CK, Clayton Kershaw. So I invited CK to come on the show, and he was nice enough to do it. So welcome to the show, CK.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird calling you Clayton Kershaw sometimes because there's an actual person, obviously, named Clayton Kershaw. I'm guessing he's like your idol.
Yeah, I mean, he's been one of my favorite baseball players for a while. We have Dodgers season tickets, so it's always fun to be able to go to games when he's pitching, because I mean, obviously we have pretty good success in those games. So
obviously, yeah, he's like the greatest pitcher that's ever lived this past year.
Well,
I mean, like, he won the MVP this year.
right.
That never happens.
That's like the first NL pitcher in, I don't know, 20-something years? I'm not exactly sure.
I don't know. Who else has won it? I can't think of any other pitchers that have won it in my lifetime.
I mean, Verlander won it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But that was the AL, so I don't know. Don't know when the last time it happened in the NL was.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think there was a Mets pitcher who won it, but anyway. I think it might have been Dwight Gooden, but
maybe Raleigh Fingers from the Brewers.
Maybe.
Yeah, with his mustache. He should win it on his mustache alone. Remember that guy?
I don't know. Oh, I don't.
You don't, no. Yeah, so, and Kershaw has the big mutton chops now, too, doesn't he?
Right.
Yeah, man, I'm going to grow those. I'm growing some facial hair here. That's going to be my new thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to grow a mustache, but I just started, so you probably can't see it at all.
It's filling in perfect.
Yeah.
are you going to get it all the way down?
I don't know exactly. I don't know. My uncle has a huge handlebar mustache, so.
Like an actual handlebar?
Yeah.
Yes.
His wife's never seen him without facial hair.
That's like a whole thing now. There's some facial hair competition now where guys are really into it and they have designs in their facial hair and all that stuff.
Right.
You got to go for that. You know what I think you should do? Just by looking at you, I see your look. Get a big old stash right here. And then have it grow down, and then have two French braids down here and just wiggle them back and forth.
Sounds pretty appealing.
Yeah, man. That you'll have to also buy a stick to beat women off of you because they'll just be throwing themselves at you. Yeah. So anyways, Clayton Kershaw. Now, the interesting thing is, well, how long have you been in CSFBL?
As Clayton Kershaw, about 2 years, and then there was like the half year as Tedward. I don't know, maybe it's been a total of about 3 years.
Okay, so, well, I guess Clayton Kershaw was already really good by that point. For some reason, I had in my head that you had the name before he was like the greatest pitcher that ever lived.
I think I got the name after he was. I had another account called Matt Kemp.
Yeah.
It was back in, 2009, maybe, that I made Matt Kent, that I made Tedward. I don't know, actually.
We're definitely going to get into those other accounts at some point. But how long has Kershaw been in the league? 4 years?
He came up in 2009, maybe, 2008, something like that.
Oh, longer than I thought.
His first Cy Young was 2011, though, so.
Yeah, okay. And he put on weight, too, like muscle. Like, he used to be pretty skinny, right?
I mean, I don't think a ton of weight, but he's definitely more muscular now, yeah.
And he doesn't get hurt.
Right.
I don't know, man. He
was hurt once last year. Still managed to win the MVP, but.
Yeah. When you see him throw, I just don't know how his body's going to hold up. But
right.
It does. He's like, well, maybe he's on the juice. That's how Clemens held up.
I mean, I hope he doesn't have one of those early declines. But we'll see.
If he was a CSFBL pitcher, what would his ratings be?
I think I actually posted what I thought
they would be
one time, but I think he'd be quite a PO guy, I think, because he does have a really nice fastball, but he also has the real good slower stuff to mix it up with. So I think he'd probably be 95 plus in both PO and finesse.
And then
the control would be something that developed late, because I remember he had really bad control problems when he first came up.
Yeah, he'd be in like the 75, 76 range where it's still good and it complements. But
probably was in the 40s when he first came up.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And then Psy, whatever the hell that is. What is Psy?
I don't know what Psy is.
God damn it. No one knows what it is. And it's so funny when I talk to people that are really educated about the game, about Psy, like they try to talk like they know what it is, but they don't really have any clue. It's like talking to, you know, somebody about God. Like they talk about it real like nebulously. And
maybe Psy's like what R.A. Dickey had.
What did R.A. Dickey have?
He had like the knuckleball. I mean, you can't put that under power or finesse very well, so I figure
That was all Psy.
Maybe that's a Psy thing.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, it like all the knuckleball, the Ephus pitch, and the garbage pitch. Like, if you're good at those, then you're high in Psy.
Yeah.
And that, so the two things that really meld with each other are like power and control, and then finesse and Psy in CSFBL, right?
Right.
And then, all right, so what's Clayton Kershaw's EN? I guess that's
probably pretty high now.
Yeah, that's a trick question a little bit too, because like in CSFBL, you can have 70 EN and complete most games.
Right.
But in the major leagues, like if he completes a third of his games, then he has 100 EN.
Right. Because he'd be the best EN pitcher in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
How many complete games did he have this year?
Boy, I don't know.
I don't know.
It was in the single digits, though, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, has to be.
Yeah.
But that's not even about EN in the major leagues. It's just, you know, a lot of, especially in the NL.
Right.
That's why the American League is a bunch of bitches, because they got the DH. That's not.
Yeah.
Sucks.
I know there's one league in CSFBL where there's actually no, there are DHs in the league. It's like called National League or something.
How do they do that?
Just kind of cool. I'm not sure. I haven't been in the league, but I thought about joining it just because I've always hated the DH thing.
So they have the pitcher's bat?
I think what they do is they have, like, scrub's bat, basically, in the pitcher's spot.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I see. So the DH has to be a scrub under a certain limit. And then,
right. So he acts as the pitcher.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
National League, I got to look that up. I'm joining that league right now while we're on the podcast.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's
I'm not
great
even in that league, so I just
just
got that league a new owner.
I know. You get royalties on everything it earns.
Yeah.
So I was so excited when the Brewers switched to the National League because, you know, it's just such a pure game. And it's so much better in the playoffs. Watching playoff NLCS baseball is the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than the World Series. Because in the World Series, like, they get really confused. I think the National League should win every World Series game that's played under National League rules.
Well, do you think the American League should win all the ones played under their rules, or?
Yeah, because they like David Ortiz. It's always embarrassing watching that guy try and play first base when he's in a National League park.
Right.
But they gotta get his bat in the lineup.
Yeah.
So they're at such a severe disadvantage, I feel like they should never win.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always difficult in interleague play to decide who you DH and who you play in the outfield.
Yeah.
The Dodgers have had trouble with that. We were playing a bunch of different DHs last year.
Yeah, well,
I think we should just DH Kemp, because apparently his defense is horrendous, but
the Dodgers kind of had this whole weird thing between him and Yasiel Puig, where Puig started playing center, Kemp was kind of pissed about it. What was that whole thing about?
Well, Puig's a much better fielder than Kemp.
Yeah.
And Kemp was really upset about the fact that he wasn't playing center anymore because he thinks he's the best center fielder on the team, and he wanted to be traded because at one point we weren't even starting him anywhere. So he wanted to be traded at that point. because we were starting Van Slyke, Ethier, Crawford, and Puig all over him. So he was like the fifth outfielder for a little while. But then he started hitting, and so we like stuck him in corner outfield for the rest of the season.
Okay, so...
But he was upset for a while, for sure.
Yeah,
Adding traits and whatnot.
Well, okay, so before the podcast, I said that I was going to talk about the Brewers and Dodgers, and that kind of raised your eyebrow a little bit. Here's why. I want to talk about Matt Kemp. The year that Ryan Braun won the MVP.
Oh, I was so mad about that.
Shouldn't be. I'll tell you why.
Kemp was better. I mean,
I'll tell you why. Because, well, Dodgers didn't even make the playoffs that year.
I mean, but I don't really think that matters for MVP. I mean, MVP is the best player, the most valuable player, not the most valuable player on a winning team.
And Ryan Braun's numbers were close to Kemp's.
Yeah, I mean, if you go with the whole playoff team argument, then I could see voting for Ryan Braun. But, I mean, for me, Kemp was just the better player between them.
So, well, see, I disagree, though, because you just said he was, like, the worst outfielder, and Ryan Braun...
This year he was. I don't think he was that year. I mean, he won a gold glove that year, I think.
Oh, did he?
Although, I mean, his defensive war was negative, so I don't know how they decided that. But.
Yeah. It was a consolidation prize for not winning MVP.
I don't know if defensive war is even a significant stat, but...
I don't know anything about stats, so I couldn't tell you. But then the big uproar was Ryan Braun was on the juice. Then they should have definitely given it to Matt Kemp, right? Except for one thing. Matt Kemp wasn't mad at all. He's like, nah, I love Ryan Braun, whatever. And that always raised my eyebrow, because if I found out some guy ahead of me was on the juice and won an award that could have cost me millions of dollars in a contract, I'd be super pissed. So what I thought at the time is, I bet Matt Kemp's juicing too. And then the next year, all of a sudden, he kind of fell off, and then he totally fell off the rails the following year. So let me ask you, on the record, was Matt Kemp juicing? Yes!
I can't possibly say yes or no for sure, but I think he probably was.
Yes, he definitely was. Especially because he had otherworldly numbers. Like, you'd have to combine...
Although his second half of 2014, if you look at that, I mean, it's pretty close to what he was doing in 2011.
It's when he started getting testosterone replacement therapy.
Yeah, I mean, his second half of this year, though, maybe he's back on roids now, I don't know.
Let's hope. What do you think about that? Like, steroids, at this point, like, they have to ban them, right? But they should just let all those records stick and just be done with it. There's no way.
Yeah, I would put Bonds in the Hall of Fame, and I would put Clemens in the Hall of Fame. I don't know about McGuire.
Well, I think you gotta. I think with that situation, well, it's all or none, right?
I don't know. I mean, I think stats are less impressive on roids.
Oh, certainly.
But, I mean, Bonds' stats are still good enough. I don't know if McGuire's are, though. I mean, he hit 600 homers, but probably wouldn't have even hit 500 without roids.
Probably not. But at the same time, it's like Lance Armstrong, is what he did less impressive? Not really. I mean, he still won all these Tour de France's and everybody was jacked.
I think it's a little bit less impressive. I mean, it's still impressive, but I feel like doing it without cheating is more impressive than.
But everybody was cheating in cycling.
That's true.
And everybody was doping and. In baseball, not everybody was doping, but there's a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Especially Matt Kemp. I'm just kidding. Not Yasiel Puig, though. I think that guy is just, like, legitimately chiseled out of stone.
Yeah, I don't think the Dodgers have anyone right now that's juicing that I can think of.
Clayton Kershaw.
Definitely.
How did he get so big? That's where I was headed with this.
He's like, not that big.
I don't know.
I mean, he's bigger than
he was.
He might be a little bit bigger than he was, but he's not. He's not like humongous like Bonds and.
He has a big head.
Yeah, do you think Pujols was juicing?
Yes. Oh yeah, he had to be, right?
And do you think Piazza was juicing?
Piazza was the ultimate juicer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think it's funny when. Clemens had his little roid rage thing where he threw the bat at Piazza. Remember that?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it just whipped a bat at him. And Piazza was like, what? What just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just.
Did he get mad about that? Or?
Wait, he looked really confused.
Yeah.
Did he rush
the mound after that?
I don't think so. I think Clemens picked up the broken bat, threw it at him, and then I think somebody did come out of the dugout, but I don't think it was. Well, I don't know. I'm saying this on air, so somebody's going to call bullshit on what I'm saying, so I don't know. I'll have to look at the YouTube video later. Yeah, all right. So, yeah, Ryan Braun, best MVP ever.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so I was looking at the teams that you liked on Facebook, and I was interested because obviously you like the Dodgers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then you like the Clippers. That's mm-hmm. your hometown team, all right?
Clippers. I mean, there's two, but I'm a Clippers fan rather than a Lakers fan generally.
Right, yep. But then you had Oklahoma City Thunder on there.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Thunder and the Clippers. The Thunder were mostly just because the Clippers were so bad for so many years that I just kind of wanted to get interested in a team that actually had a chance.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I have relatives that are from Oklahoma City, so.
So you weren't a fan when they were the Sonics? It was after they moved?
I wasn't really into basketball until maybe late middle school. So that was like 5 years ago or so. And then by that point they were already in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I forget how old I am sometimes. Yeah, because Charlotte went there, or no. New Orleans went there right after Hurricane Katrina for a year. So they must have moved to Oklahoma City in like 7 or 8, probably 8.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so they've been there for a while. And speaking of New Orleans, that's where Chris Paul came from.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so the Clippers got him. So how did you feel when all that went down, when he got traded to the Lakers and everything was fine, it was on the up and up, kind of, and the NBA rejected it, pulled him back, and then he got traded to the Clippers? What is the atmosphere between Clipper and Lakers fans about that?
I mean, most fans here are Lakers fans. Yeah. So, I mean,
they're pissed about that, right?
They were pissed. Yeah, they were pretty pissed about that.
They should be.
I mean, yeah, they think that the Lakers should have gotten LeBron. Pretty much any good player should be on the Lakers is kind of the mindset, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they're like the Yankees of the NBA.
Yeah.
And they do get all the good players. Well, that's just because everybody wants to play there, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, mostly.
Why do they think they should have got LeBron? I mean, that was a free agent thing. That didn't have anything to do with
it. I'm not really sure. They said 2 years ago we would have gone hard at LeBron, and this year, because we were so bad the most recent year, we couldn't have gotten him because he wouldn't have been interested in a team that's this bad.
Because Kobe's old. Steve Nash is done. He's done, yeah. Right? His back's hurt.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, I think Kobe's probably essentially done, too.
Yeah. Yeah, man, they're going to be bad for a while. What about the Clippers? They got a chance?
They're definitely in it. I mean, they still have Blake Griffin, and they still have Chris Paul, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, you don't know? That's your team.
I mean, that is technically my team, but I'm not a huge basketball fan, so...
Well, you know, I just moved to Austin, Texas, and that's only like 45 minutes from San Antonio, so everybody's here are really big Spurs fans, and that's a really easy team to love. You know, no matter where you are in basketball, you got to love the Spurs because they just, like, found a way to do everything right. You know, they have a good coach. They're no drama. Mm-hmm. Tim Duncan. And they're like 15-5. They're going to have another good year. So... let's go back to the sport that you do know then. Let's talk about baseball a little bit more. The most famous Dodger of all time is blank.
Jackie Robinson, I'd say.
Never heard of him. Jackie Robinson. And then, you know where I was thinking, if I had to answer that, I would have said Tommy Lasorda.
You would have said him as number one above Jackie Robinson?
Yeah.
That's a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Tommy Lasorda, everybody knows crazy Tommy Lasorda. That's actually, he should start selling used cars and calling himself.
Yeah, I mean, he's at every Dodger game I go to, pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
I turn to my left and there's Tommy Lasorda.
How old is he?
He
doesn't look like he's getting around pretty well, but he's always everywhere.
Probably around 70.
Everybody loves him, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not a huge Tommy Lasorda fan.
No? Why?
What?
Why?
It might be because I never was, like, I didn't grow up with him as the manager.
Oh.
But, my dad really dislikes him.
How come?
Just trading, he apparently had a thing where he really wanted to trade away a lot of our best pitchers in, like, the 80s and 90s. I know we had Pedro Martinez, we dealt him away.
Yeah, Oral Hershiser.
Oral Hershiser, although at least we had him for a number of years.
You had him to win a World Series.
Yeah, I mean, we had him for his best years, probably.
Yeah. yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about the Dodgers to know that. I just don't know that everybody loves Tommy Lasorda and not everybody loved Jackie Robinson. Racist. yeah, Jackie Robinson, though. He's the most famous because he's also the only guy that has his number retired on every team.
Right. Breaking the color barrier, I guess, does that.
Yeah, I guess. It's weird, though, because there's a Brewer that had 42 when they retired it, and it just didn't seem fair to that guy.
One controversial question that someone asked me was, would Jackie Robinson be in the Hall of Fame if he wasn't black?
Hmm. I don't know. I'd have to look at his numbers. Would he? What was your answer? I'm going to
look. I said probably not.
I seem to remember him being really good, though. Like, wasn't he like a five-tool guy?
I mean, he was pretty good, but I mean, he only was in the majors for 10 years.
Yeah, how old was he when he went into the majors? Because he was in the Negro League probably for a while,
like,
right?
He was probably like 26-ish.
Ah, I thought I went to Baseball Almanac. This isn't him. Let's see here. So Jackie Robinson in the major leagues had 1,500 hits, 137 home runs, 197 stolen bases, hit .311. Yeah, no, but I mean the one thing that he, listen to this though, he has, is this right? He has 8 MVP awards.
No, that's definitely not right. He won one MVP.
What am I reading?
I don't know.
I'm on Baseball Almanac. It says he has 8 MVP awards.
8 MVP awards.
That can't be right, right?
I mean, that'd be the most of anyone ever, so.
Yeah.
Because Bonds had 7, and that's the record. 8 MVP awards. Oh, maybe you're looking at where he placed in MVP voting, and it says, like, MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Woo! Yeah, he has one MVP award.
Yeah.
And he was the Rookie of the Year.
Right.
And he has 6 All-Stars. So that puts him...
So, I mean, he was good, but I don't know...
On the ballot.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. He wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. But you got to put him in the Hall of Fame, right? Just because...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think
because
so.
Because of the cultural significance of his play. And did you see the movie 42?
Yeah.
God damn, that must have been miserable, man. He definitely knew that he was making history, because otherwise he would not have dealt with all that shit, because it was awful.
Yeah, I did some research on the movie just to see if it was, like, as accurate as... I mean, and it was. I mean, all the stuff in the movie was pretty much accurate to history, which was crazy.
White people are the worst, man.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Chris Rock had a good thing, though, that he said recently... about, you know, he was talking about Ferguson and all the stuff going on, and he said, when you look at, he said, right now in human history, white people are the best white people we've ever had, and he said, so often you talk about Barack Obama being president as black people progress, well, that's also saying that he was the only black person ever to be qualified to be president, which he wasn't. So what Barack Obama being president is, isn't black people progress, it's white people progress. I thought that was pretty insightful and probably true, but at the same time, God, we still suck as white people. We got a
lot. Well, yeah, I don't know if that's actually true though, because no? Obama lost among white voters, and he won among black voters like 96-4 or something ridiculous.
So, right, I mean, but he had to get the white voters he did get to be elected.
That's true. I mean, but I mean, even if you go back like 50 years, there were some white voters who would have voted for black people. But I mean, I guess we're probably at a high in terms of the amount of white voters that would consider it.
Well, I think his point was that we're at a tipping point where that could even happen, and the only reason it even could happen is because white voters have changed, or white people have changed. I don't know. We got a long way to go, though. Shit's a mess. All right, so let's see if I missed anything. I wanted to talk to you about that. I do want to mention one thing. You said that you don't remember Tommy Lasorda being manager. You were born...
He stopped managing when I was like 3 or something.
Yeah, you were... I want to put this in perspective to everybody that's watching it. You were born when I was able to legally drink. I found that out today, and I was just disgusted with my old, decrepit... loose chicken.
So you're like
37 self.
Or something?
I'm 39.
39? Okay.
Damn it. I don't know, man. That hit me today. So your birthday's in April, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so technically I was 20 when you were born, but I was 21 a couple months later. My birthday's in June. So, yeah, man. I don't know how that happened. I'm old and gross.
39 is not old.
Well, I don't know. It's different. I tell you what, like, you can't drink without having a 2-day hangover when you're 39. You know what else? You can't. Huh. You gotta stretch when you get out of bed so you don't.
2-day hangover.
Jeez. Yeah, 2-day hangovers. Yeah,
okay. That's insane.
Well, I also used to drink like a copious amount of alcohol, so that probably contributed to it. But you also have to stretch before you do anything, include brush your teeth or get in the shower, because you'll pull something.
You pulled something brushing your teeth.
Yeah, I gotta stretch just to sit out. Otherwise, might pull a hammy. Yeah, man. So you're 19 right now?
18.
18, all right. So, and you're a freshman in college?
Yeah.
But you're not... That's where I got a little confused, because you go to college in Minnesota, right?
Right.
But you're in California right now.
Yeah, I have a 6-week break from college.
What?
Because my school's on a trimester system, so we have like 3, and most people are in a semester system, so they have 2 separate sections. So most people are like doing their first finals right now.
Right.
But we did those before Thanksgiving break, so our Thanksgiving and Christmas breaks are just combined.
Do you like that better?
Kind of, although, I mean, there's no one here that's my age, because they're all in college, so
right
now I'm kind of just doing my own thing and, like, with my parents and stuff, so.
Doing podcasts.
Yeah, doing podcasts.
Yeah. So, wow, that's crazy. So what are the dates of the year that you go to school? So you go to school throughout the summer, then?
No. So I go to school from September to November. That was the first term, and then... I'm back in January to March, I think, is the second term. Then there's like a 2-week spring break, and then like April to June. So we get out actually a little late because we get out in June, which is actually, I think, later than most people.
Mm.
Like mid-June, late June, I don't know.
So what made you go to cold Minnesota to go to college?
Well, I've always thought it was a little hot here. So... I wanted to go to a colder environment, although I must say, having been out in 1-degree weather, it's pretty miserable.
Yeah, it'll beat you up.
Yeah, pretty miserable. So, and when I get back, it's going to be like -20 in January.
Yeah.
Which I can't even fathom.
Are you near the Twin Cities?
I've been to the Twin Cities. I'm about 45 minutes drive away.
North or south?
I'm south.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Twins, I'm from Madison, and Twin Cities are still like 4 hours north of me, so they even get it worse than
right.
I did. But, yeah, I mean, last year I remember going through a six-day stretch where it was minus 16 or colder for all six days as a high. That's miserable.
Oh, man, as a high. That's horrible.
That was, yeah. Now, that was exceptionally cold. That was the, during the, what did they call it? The polar vortex? It was during that.
Supposedly, this winter is going to be even worse. So,
That's why I moved to Texas. It's beautiful down there.
You lived in Wisconsin?
I was born, raised there. I lived there my whole life. Yeah, I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. Have you made it over to Madison yet?
Well, I visited Wisconsin and Michigan as part of like a choir trip a few years ago. So,
Through Madison?
Yeah.
Yeah, Madison's a great city.
So the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great city. Actually, the city I live in now, Austin, is like a really big Madison. It's about four times as big as Madison. But Austin, Texas is.
Austin's like a super liberal city, right?
It is. Yeah, it's really strange. It's a super liberal city surrounded by a very conservative state, but it's Austin's really interesting because the motto here is keep Austin weird. And like it's, I don't know. I would call it aggressively progressive, except there's nothing aggressive about this town. Like it's so laid back, so chill. It is a great place to live. I enjoy it a lot. You know, the music's great, the comedy's great. Culturally, it's very artistic, and I don't know. It's a cool place. I like it so far.
Yeah. My second choice, actually, for college was Rice.
Oh, yeah.
Texas, so that would have been...
Yeah, that's right outside Houston, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like 3 hours southeast of here. Austin's right here, and then Houston is 3 hours this way. Dallas is 3 hours north. Corpus Christi is like 3 hours southeast. So, more about you. One thing that I found very interesting is that even though you're young, you know, you're 18 years old, I'm looking at your shirt right now, and that is a Chicago, the band Chicago shirt.
Yeah, it's my favorite band.
Yeah, it's your favorite band. You're into stuff like that. I saw the Eagles, Chicago, Earth, Wind, Fire, like all that stuff,
yeah.
Huh? How do you get into that music? That music was like just going out of style when I was growing up.
It's weird because I mean my mom marginally likes Chicago and my dad doesn't really like them at all. But I play trombone, and so the combination I think of playing trombone and loving rock music got me interested in Chicago.
Yeah,
they're one of the few bands with a horn section,
a full horn
rock
section.
Bands. Yeah. Yeah,
they had like 12 members of their band.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them live like 3 times.
Really?
And they have like their whole original horn section is still with the group, which is amazing because they're all like in their late 60s now. And
yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Is Peter Cetera still singing?
He sings, but he's separate now because, I mean, I don't know if he got kicked out or if he just left, but I mean, he always has wanted to do like more slow ballady stuff, more pop stuff. And I mean, the rest of the group kind of wanted to go back to more focus on the horn section, more rock instead of pop.
Yeah,
but I like the rock stuff more than the pop stuff personally.
The common theme though that I'm seeing is like Earth, Wind, and Fire, Chicago. They both had lead singers that would hit really high pitch, like they just got kicked in the balls sounds. Is that your thing? Like, you're just like, man, I like music where it sounds like somebody just got kicked in the balls.
I don't know. I don't like Justin Bieber.
Is that what he sounds like?
A little bit.
Well, the funny thing about Peter Cetera is, like he'd always, whenever he'd get all high-pitched and be working it, you could never understand fully what he was saying, and he'd be like... Right. You got to leave it, take it all away. And you'd be like, you got to leave it, take it all away. That doesn't even make sense. What are you talking about, Peter Cetera?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of thought that like the best music was stuff that the words don't necessarily matter for, where you can kind of really appreciate the song without even understanding what they're actually saying in it.
Yeah.
So like the music is enough to get the message across.
That is Earth, Wind, and Fire. Right? That's what all Earth, Wind, and Fire songs were.
To some extent, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, especially if you, like, watch...
Yeah, I mean, now that I think about it, none of their songs really have meaningful words.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
My favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire... I forget what the name of the song is. It's like, This Is the Groove or Let's Groove.
Oh, Let's Groove Tonight.
Yeah. And the words of that song are always so funny because you're just like, you know... Let's groove, set it in your shoes.
Tonight. I don't know what the...
But isn't it, it's like, let's groove, set it in your shoes.
I don't even know.
Hang on, I'm going to look it up. Let's see. Yeah.
One of the guys in Earth, Wind, and Fire is like, he dances like crazy on stage. And we don't know if he has like a mental issue or what the deal is there. But he's like going ridiculous for like 3 hours straight. He doesn't stop.
He just nonstop. Yeah. He's like guy in Chappelle's Show doing the robot. Like he's just always going for it. Yeah, so it's let this groove set in your shoes. So stand up. All right, all right. All right. That's what
sounds good.
The funny thing about Earth, Wind, and Fire is like in their videos they do all this like trance stuff where like there'll be flames coming up on both sides, and their lead singer, I can't think what his name is, but he kind of looks like a bulky Sherman Helmsley, and he has like this afro that goes like this but not in the middle. He's like balding, but he just let this grow anyways, so he kind of has this like afro Bozo the Clown thing going on. And then like in the videos, every video of Earth, Wind, and Fire, they just have his head floating around. Like, what's going on there? I don't know. I love that.
Is it Philip Bailey? I know he's one of the members of the group.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe he might be the crazy dancing guy.
Yeah. I gotta watch some of those videos again. That's funny. Let's see, and what was the other band? Oh, America, the band. That was the other one that you had on your like list. Is that... I only know one of their songs.
Do you know A Horse With No Name?
That's the only one I know.
Okay. They also wrote a song called Ventura Highway, which is about a highway that's near where I live.
Is that why you like them?
No. I mean, I definitely like them. I don't know. I like their music a lot. A Horse With No Name was one of my favorite songs for a while.
So wait. You like Ventura Highway because it's about a highway near your house. A Horse With No Name is very famously about heroin. Do you like it because you like heroin?
I do not like heroin.
You're on the record. I don't know. You're in college now.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of heroin access, at least not easily in college.
Sure,
but
there is. Sure there is. I'll tell you how to get heroin in college. This will be
My parents will be happy to hear this.
Yeah. Are they going to listen to this?
No, I highly doubt it.
Okay, because I'm gonna give you the lowdown on how to get heroin in college.
All right,
is you walk outside, right?
And
you
right.
Yeah,
and that's a problem in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's cold.
Yeah, I mean already this is kind of difficult, but go on.
But you find anybody from the Middle East or Western China because they grow a lot of heroin there.
Middle East or Western China.
Yeah.
How do I know that they're from the Middle East or Western China?
I don't know. Knock on doors.
Racially profile them.
You have to racially. Yes, you definitely have to racially profile. And once you find them, say, look, lady, and definitely ask a lady because she'll be comfortable talking about heroin with you. Say, look, lady, I want to take a chariot ride down the Black Bull Boulevard, you know, and she'll know what you're talking about. You say, right. I want it coursing through my veins like the Spartans charging to a distant land, and I want my heart pulsating like the star Rygar in the sky. She'll be like, you could just say you want heroin.
Won't you think I'm already high if I'm saying things like that?
Yeah, because then she knows you're cool.
Right.
Because a cop would never say that. So that's how you get heroin in college. I don't know.
Okay. I'll try that out.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Let's see what happens.
You're looking behind you like, is there people watching this? I don't want to.
No, I was seeing if my parents are home yet.
Well, good thing. We got to have a cue word so I can clean it up in case your parents show up.
So yeah, you could probably continue even if they come, but.
Yeah, but if they show up, I want you to say, Ryan Braun is the greatest MVP, and then I'll know that's our safe word.
All right.
Actually, your dad will probably be mad at you if he hears you say that.
Yeah, he probably would be. My mom wouldn't even know who that is, though.
Yeah. Who on the Dodgers has been MVP?
The current Dodgers?
No, any Dodger.
Oh, just any time? Other than Kershaw, did Piazza probably won an MVP?
Maybe. Yeah, he probably did. I don't know.
I know Eric Gagne won a Cy Young.
He played for the Brewers for a year, too. After he got off the juice, that guy was definitely juicing.
That guy was horrible after he got off the juice.
Yeah, Dodger MVPs.
I mean, I know Jackie Robinson won an MVP, but that's about it. Maybe Steve Garvey.
Steve Garvey. Yeah, that guy was a good-looking guy, huh? Him and that was back in the day where baseball players like Jim Palmer just modeled in their underwear. They were like good-looking 80 guys. Steve Garvey was like that too, but Steve Garvey had small hands. You know what that means. All right. So they've had quite a few. You know who we're forgetting? Roy Campanella.
Okay, yeah, he had three.
Yeah, he had three of them. And apparently Sandy Koufax won one as well. And in the crappiest MVP ever, 1988, Kirk Gibson won one. And then Maury Wills.
Okay, Maury Wills won one. Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah. And then back in the Brooklyn days, also Don Newcomb and a couple other guys. Dazzy Vance.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're learning things.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so now let's get into CSFBL. You mentioned at the top of the show that you were... I'm going to take notes. What was the first account you had when you signed up for CSFBL?
Tedward111 was the first account.
Tedward111. And I believe I got involved with this Tedward111 at some point. Do you remember
that? A
lot
of people got involved with the Tedward111 account. Yeah.
What happened that led to the controversy with Tedward111?
So I had another account right after that. I mean, I don't remember everything about it, but I think I was kind of fed up with the fact that nobody traded in any of my leagues because they were all public leagues.
So you made that happen.
So I was like, you know what? I'll trade with myself in my leagues.
And wasn't your other account, wasn't it also Tedward, like 112?
It was Tedward Potter.
Yeah. All right. Because that happened in a...
Which is like the stupidest thing.
That's not a good plan.
The same thing.
So,
like, virtually the same email address, virtually the same username.
So the reason I remember this is because I have to come clean with you since you don't remember. I was the whistleblower on that because it was a public league that I actually cared about because it was, like, the first team I had ever created. And so
do you know what league it was?
I want to say it was Alpha Kappa Kappa.
Okay.
And the reason I know is because I had gotten, or maybe it was Recycler. Maybe it was one of the Recycler leagues because my league had
gotten. I think it would be Alpha Kappa Kappa because I don't think I joined a Recycler.
Okay. Because my team had gotten purged once and then I joined that league because I wanted to keep that team alive.
Mm.
And then this Tedward guy shows up, and then I notice all these trades on the transaction page, like wholesale, like team trades.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was the craziest thing. But it wasn't just that guy, because you had a third team in that league too, I think.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there may have been a Matt Kemp in that league too.
Yeah, probably. Matt Kemp.
So that was not a very good moment for me.
So, what other accounts have you had?
Well, Rando called me actually to try to tell me. Back then, Rando called me to tell me to come clean or something. Or
was he Rando back then? Or who was he?
He was. I think he was Oyo back then.
Okay.
Boots or whatever.
Right. Yep.
So he called me and told me, of all people, he's the one telling me not to do sketchy things. So so he told me to make a new account, which is the dumbest thing. So I made a new account called Question Marks. Some question marks after it.
That's right. That's where that came from.
Right, and that did not work very long, because I tried to join Chai Beta Federation, like, right away after making that account, and they caught me.
But you had kept the other accounts active as well.
At that point?
No.
I think at that point I might have had them active, but I wasn't actually, I had no double teams in the same league.
Okay.
So by that point, and then I just decided... And then Rando called me again, I think, and I've, like, decided to just, like, publicly apologize and just put everything into my other new account called Clayton Kershaw. And that was kind of how that ended. The only private league that I had during the Tedward days was a remake, so. And there was no cheating going on there, so.
So, but Clayton Kershaw and Matt Kemp were both around at the same time.
Right. But I think, I mean, Clayton Kershaw's never really had any sketchy activity on the account. Maybe at the beginning, I don't actually remember, but...
Yeah. So, I think it's funny that you decided to make a name like Question Marks with Question Marks.
Yeah.
Like that was going to keep you under the radar or something.
Right.
Where did you come up with that
name? And then, I don't know. I think... Are you exclamation points?
No. I don't know who exclamation points is. Actually, I think it's Afro. Maybe it's Afro.
It's Afro?
I think so.
That would surprise me.
No, I don't have any other accounts that I can log into. I don't think I ever have. I was Jay Havy for a while, but then I just switched everything to Zubaz, so they never overlapped. I'm trying to think if I ever made any... I never had anything. So nobody knows who exclamation points is. I think it's Afro, though. Somebody listening to this will post in the threads.
Yeah, someone thought it was me for a while, just trying to make jokes to myself or something.
Oh. You know who I thought you were? When Flying Death Bar came out, I thought it was you.
Really? Was I around when Flying Death... I guess I was. I must have been in public.
That must have been Rando.
I think it was probably Rando. He claims it was his roommate or something.
Oh, so he already did make a claim on that?
Yeah, he said it was his roommate.
I forgot to ask him about that.
He's apparently his mom might join CSFBL. So,
is that what he said? That she's coming up?
I don't know. Maybe not.
That will be really good for your mom jokes. I will brutalize his mom if she's...
Rando has a lot of, I think, enemies. But he also has a lot of... I like Rando.
Yeah. You talk to him every once in a while, right?
Yeah, we AIM a lot, and I called him yesterday, I think.
And you saw the podcast with him?
Yeah, I saw the pimp one and his.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why. You know, I was thinking about Rando today, and you know what I decided he was? I decided he was Jose Cuervo Tequila. And here's why. It's because there's some people that just cannot stand tequila, period. They don't want to have anything to do with tequila. Right? And then there's other people that like tequila, but Jose Cuervo would never be their first choice. That's Rando. Like, there's some people that can tolerate him, some people that can't. The people that can tolerate him, he's never their first choice.
I guess that makes sense, yeah. Do you think he'll get into TCL?
He got into TCL.
He got it. I mean, I know he got in years ago, but...
Yeah, and he was in for one season and then got kicked out, and he's the highest percentage winning owner of all time in TCL.
Yeah, he's told me like 20 times.
the problem is he took over a Dark Wolf team, a total tank and bank team, and he got it with like the two number one overall pick pitchers, and so it was nothing of his doing. He just as he says, just set the lineups. So, but he still has the record. We can't take that away from him. So, yeah, I don't know if he'll ever get back in. I would say no if I had to guess. There's just people that, like, if you read the comments about the podcast, there's people that just wouldn't even watch it, which is unfortunate. Yeah. Because, and actually, he didn't help himself much because he went full rando for the first 15 minutes of the podcast. So you really had to struggle to get through that if you weren't a rando fan to get to, like, all the intelligent things he said afterwards. Like, because he came out with a sombrero and sunglasses and was singing songs. Yeah. I mean, it was... I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
I liked it.
I thought he was good. So
he spent most of it talking about Super Big Red and Stan, I felt like.
Yeah, he talked about pee stains a lot.
Pee stains, yeah.
Yeah, pee stains. You don't like that guy either, huh?
I like him. I mean, he and I are the co-commissioners, or two of the co-commissioners of Cooperstown's Finest, which is probably my top priority league, just because I created it and stuff. So,
what's the gimmick with that league?
It's the idea is to be realistic, so it's like CSFBL's pretty much only attempt at realism, I guess. We have like free agency and contracts and contract extensions.
Wow, really? And so like if a contract's up, how do you re-sign the player?
We have like a contract extension system, but I mean, if the better teams tend to have more contract extensions. So if you're not a good enough team, you can't necessarily. It's harder to re-sign your players.
And then, do you dictate what the salary is?
The salary is the in-game salary, unless you're signed in free agency. So if you're signed in free agency, then there's like a bidding system on the forums where you end. I mean, Rando just signed a 20-year-old for $20 million a year. He's an amazing pitcher, but it's still a massive overpay.
Wow.
Yeah. And the guy, he renamed the guy to the Great White Rando.
The Great White Hope, the Great White Rando.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, this is an interesting concept. So did you, yeah, I'm looking at this guy now. He also has a $7.8 million pitcher, a $7.1 million hitter. So there's no cap.
There is a cap. There's a $60 million cap that you have to get under, but you can kind of, you can trade for money in the league.
How's that work?
So it allows you to, I mean, Rando's traded for a bunch of money, so he's able to be over the cap. But I mean, what often happens is like someone will deal a first rounder to get $3 million for 2 years or something. A late first rounder to get $3 million for 2 years or something.
So they trade for actual cap money?
You can trade for cap money, yeah.
Wow. So I could trade John Doe, who is an all-star hitter, for $2 million in cap money. Now I've gone from 60 to $62 million for the next 3 years.
Right. Yeah. Those are the terms that the two teams agree on. Yeah, that works.
Oh, because it takes away from the other team's cap.
Takes away from the other team's cap, right.
Shit. Wow, that gets... Wow, there's a lot of strategy there. So,
right. And like in real baseball, you can deal for money, so...
Yeah, it's gonna take me some time to get my head around this. So, did you handpick the owners that are in that league?
I mean, when I first made the league, I was a pretty sketchy character, so I mean, I didn't really have that much choice in who I got. But of late, we've been able to get some more owners that are really good, I think. But
well, you got a guy I've heard a lot about lately is Peyton Fan. I think
Peyton Fan, yeah, he's a really good owner.
Yeah,
I call I'm on the phone with him a lot of times. yeah, he's excellent. He just basically built his last year. He was his first year in the league, and he only won 50 games because he took over a really bad team. And I mean, I think this year he's probably going to be a 90-win team because of all the moves he made. He's calling up like one guy, but he made so many trades that he's going to be able to do pretty well. So he's able to turn teams around quickly. It's impressive.
Yeah, that's cool. You have two owners in that have great names. One is Fat Phil.
Yeah, he's Crappy the Clown on the forums.
Oh.
It's Fat Fill-In Game. Do you know Crappy the Clown?
I know the name. I don't think I've ever been in a league with either of them. So
he's a good hunter.
He's Crappy the Clown and Fat Phil. Those are two good names. And then what is this racist that has this currently unowned team? His name is Flank KKK's.
I don't know why he's. I haven't even thought about that before.
That guy does not have Jackie Robinson.
I sent him a PM about his team name, and he was like, "Yeah, I've been waiting to use this team name for a while, and it's good
currently
to be in the league." Currently unowned. I'm like, okay. All
right.
Yeah, I don't get it, but. I mean, I get it.
He should change his name to recruit this team so he can do the whole thing. People keep trying to recruit it, don't understand why they can't get it. And then Rando was talking about Trash Man, too, as a good owner.
Yeah, he's a good owner. He had a bunch of 100-win seasons in the league towards the beginning.
Oh, so you're only two games a day.
Right now we're two games a day. It's an 8-game-a-day league normally, but during the off season we get pretty slow because of free agency. Trying to think what else. Contract extensions are in the off season. Lots of trading goes on.
Wow, this is an interesting league. How often do you have openings?
I mean, we tend to lose 1 to 2 owners a season, I would say. Although, I mean, there's been zeros, but I mean...
Pretty typical, though.
Yeah.
Or actually less than typical. Do you talk to P-Stan on the phone?
I haven't talked to him on the phone, but we definitely have a lot of PM conversation.
Do you call him P-Stan? Rando's,
I don't call him P-Stan. But Rando's had a lot of problems with him.
In this league, too? God, they just hate each other.
I think most of the problems are in CF. I mean... I know Ultra was a big issue for a little while, but I mean that's over with, and I mean he's still the CF problems are pretty huge. I mean, P Stans would probably kick Rando out of the league if it was purely up to him. I'm not sure, but that's my guess.
I got to get in on this rivalry a little bit more. I think it's funny. I don't know P Stans at all, but now I want to get him on the podcast just to talk to him because I think.
But I mean, Rando has rivalries with like 50 people, so.
Yeah, but I was reading like the Rando's rant thread and some other threads that P Stans is in, and he seems very focused on making it a rivalry. He wants to hate this guy.
Rando does?
No, P Stans wants to hate Rando. He seems to go out of his way to try and fight with Rando.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty true.
Yeah, that's a good rivalry. I like that one. So,
there's a bit of a rivalry between me and Rando, too.
A friendly rivalry?
To some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some pretty angry rants at each other on AIM sometimes.
Do you ever save them?
Do I ever save? What do you mean?
Save the AIM chat so that you can.
Post I have all of them. I haven't like deleted any of them.
Yes, you gotta pick some of them and make that its own thread.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from there.
Yeah,
I mean most of them involve a large amount of swearing from him. I mean it's usually like he will send me about 20 AIMs and then I'll send one back, and then he'll send me just rants and rants, and I send like one thing.
Marijuana's a hell of a drug. He gets himself all messed up.
Yeah, I mean, like a quarter of what he tells me is I'm really high right now. That's the most common thing to hear from him.
So it's like he rants, he's pissed off, and then he's just like, you know what? I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm really high right now. Who am I talking to again? Is this P-Stain?
Yeah, he doesn't really respond to me anymore unless I'm calling him. Because if I call, he can respond to me. And on the phone, or on AIM, he feels like he can't respond to me adequately.
Yeah. Well, he kind of trails off when he's high, so it's a little confusing what he's talking about. I saw that in the podcast. I kept having to, like, play the sheepdog and bite his ankles and get him back on topic again, because he'll just kind of trail off into no man's land. All right, so that's cool. So I don't want to take up the whole podcast talking about that league, but that's an interesting league. Other people should check it out. Get on that wait list. I might do that. Except I don't know shit. I'm so dumb at the game. Like the only thing, but I might do well in that game because the one thing I am good at, the single only thing I'm good at, is trading to build a team. That's the only thing I'm good at. As far as
that's pretty important in CF, I think.
Yeah, I would think it's really important, especially when you're talking about contracts and
right.
setting yourself up for long-term success. Mm-hmm. So help me with this. I'm looking at your franchise, and I was under the impression you could only have 10 teams, but you got 12.
Yeah, I was under the impression you could only have 10, and then someone told me that it doesn't actually take any teams out of your franchise. So I used to have like 20. But I've had to cut since I'm in college, so I'm basically now in only leagues that I really like being in. So, I mean, I'm someone who never has a team that I'm not paying attention to. If I'm not paying attention to a team, I cut that team for sure.
Is this the primary game that you play, or do you play other games?
It's pretty much the only game I play.
Yeah, what do you like about it? Is it are you a stats guy, or what is it?
I'm to some extent a stats guy. I like the ratings a lot, too. I mean, I think that the ratings are, besides Psy, I understand what all the ratings mean and stuff.
So you understand what XRAA and all those stats are?
XRAA is a weird one, but I mean, I kind of get what it is. It's kind of trying to evaluate overall player ability, but it's...
I don't know what any of those are. Do you know?
That's not a particularly easy stat to understand. I don't even think that's a real stat. I think Reds fan made that up.
Oh, that's the one Jelly made.
Oh,
and
Jelly
and he got, okay. Well, he got Reds with Red's help and Red coded
right.
it. That's right, yeah.
Like,
there's another example of that filthy Jelly manipulating the system
right.
for his own benefit.
Jelly recently said in the draft thread of TCL he might kick me out of the league, so that's always fun to hear.
Yeah, where'd you go? I put my name on the line for you. I said, CK's the best owner that we could possibly get.
I really, really, really want to be more active, but there's just so little time for me, and I mean, so much of my energy is either devoted to college or CF, because I'm the commission CF.
Look, I can help you right now. If you give me the password to your league, to your franchise, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop your team in Tilted Tables, the Los Angeles Wreckers. They're gone. Gone. We're going to get you...
I'm tempted to do that anyway.
All right. See, we're making progress. Green Street Restaurant Twins in Little League, it's gone. You're out of that league.
Man, I have a three-peat there right now.
Okay. You can be there one more year then. Front Office Baseball, yeah, you can keep that team. Goat, that's gone. Minneapolis Monkeys, you don't need that team.
Goat's like the, okay. Well, Goat's like honestly the best ownership quality league, I think, in the game.
Really? Why?
Because Peyton Fan just made that league, and he just, it's a league where he just asked the best owners that he could think of to join.
That's and why I didn't get invited.
Well, I mean, he probably didn't know you.
No, but, he did the right thing.
He invited a lot of owners to that league, and it's a league where like the winners get money, so it was really attractive to a lot of owners. And I mean, if you look at the owner list in that league, it's pretty impressive, I think.
Explain that, the owners get money.
There's like the winner gets like, I don't know exactly, I think like $500 maybe.
Oh, it's real money?
It's real money, yeah.
What? How's that work?
It's real money. I mean, you win, you get money for winning a World Series, and you get money for winning under this point system that he has after 10 seasons. It's a 10-season league, and then it's over. Although, I mean, the league will continue, but there's no money after the 10th season.
Who's putting up this money?
Peyton Fan.
He put it up himself?
Yeah, and I don't know if I should be saying this on the podcast, but I mean, he's...
Well, everybody must know about it. It's part of the league, right?
But yeah, I mean, everyone who's part of the league knows about it for sure. I mean, it's pretty cool, yeah.
Why did he do that? Just because he loves the game so much?
He loves the game a lot, and he wanted to get a group of owners that were really good. So most owners that he asked said yes, I think probably because of the money thing.
He just became my favorite person in CSFBL. I'm not even joking. That guy just got to the top of the list. I don't know him. I got to reach out to this guy. I got to get him on the podcast right away. Peyton Fan always.
Don't know if he'd say yes, but...
Why not?
I don't know. Based on my phone calls with him.
Oh, this doesn't seem like his speed?
Maybe. I don't know. Definitely ask him, though. He'd be a good guy to get on.
What do you mean, based on your phone calls? What's that mean?
He doesn't want to... I don't know. I'm not really sure. I've talked to him about it before, and he said he might watch my podcast, but, yeah. You know.
But that's...
He hasn't watched any of them yet, so...
Is it because he doesn't... he's not a front-of-the-camera type guy? Is that what you mean? Like, he doesn't want to be on record?
I'm not sure. You probably have to ask him.
Yeah, you're being pretty careful with your words. There's more to the story. Peyton fan, if you're listening, I will take care of you. I love all my guests. I treat them with compassion. We have a good time. I got to get you on the podcast because you are interesting to me. Peyton fan, we are going to buy the game together, me and you. All right. And Smidius, I'm going to get him in on it too. Smidius is in this league.
Smidius would be a good owner for the podcast. I think either Smidius or Joe Blow just won the World Series in the league. I don't know who ended up winning. It was 3-3 the last time I looked.
Joe Blow, he was in TCL for a while, and he kind of stopped participating in TCL to do other things.
I hear he was like the one guy that was even less active than me.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared completely, but I like Joe Blow personally. He, for a while, I don't know if he still owns it, but he owned a fightwear company in Yuma, Arizona called Heroic. And he was really into MMA, which is something I'm into as well. He's just kind of an interesting guy, kind of an entrepreneurial type guy. And then you have Moden in there and Cardboard Tube and Ken, Boise, Gaddius.
Ken and I had a really big rivalry in one of our leagues for a while.
Ken's a killer, man. He's good in every league. He's been dominating TCL lately, too.
Yeah, he had like a 29-season streak of making the playoffs in MLB.
Yeah.
I made it like 26 out of those 29, so we were always playing each other the first round.
Mm. Yeah, Ken's super good. And then you have the brothers, Gaddius and Cubs, fell in the same division with each other.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's... I'm learning all sorts of new stuff. We're breaking news here on the Threat of Time podcast.
And I'm really happy because I made the playoffs the first year, which is...
So you're going to get some money.
You don't get money just for the playoffs.
What do you got to do?
You got to win the World Series or be like in the top five in the point system at the end of the 10 years, I think.
So 10 years is roughly 10 months real time.
Right. It'll be less than a year.
That is a great idea.
I mean, I have Ken and Peyton Fan in my division, and Cardboard Tube, and Moden. So, I mean, it's a pretty rough division.
And then, is the cap actually $75 million, or is
the cap's actually $75 million, so everyone pretty much has full scouting.
Oof. Full scouting and
full FOA.
Yeah. Wow. That's tough. I'm in a league like that right now, and I thought it would be easier for the style that I build teams with, but it actually makes it immensely harder because, you know, there's obviously no free agents. Everybody's looking at the same scouting. You don't have to make those tough decisions.
It's a lot easier to have a team that's good consistently, though.
Yeah.
Because once you're good, you have full scout. You still have full scouting and full FOA, so you don't get bad quickly. Whereas, like, in a 50-mil cap league, once you get good, you have no room anymore.
Yeah, except you don't get anybody drop in the draft because those teams that don't have...
Especially in GOAT. I had like the 15th pick and got like a pretty mediocre play. It might have been a bad draft, but...
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, yeah. One of the reasons that I voted for you to be in TCL and I was pushing for you to be in TCL was because of the trade we made while you were in Remake.
If you remember, was it the first overall for... It was something for a really good PG shortstop, right?
Yeah, well, you didn't know that, though, at the time.
Oh, right.
I had the ninth pick.
I gave you the nine. Okay, yeah, you gave me the
I gave you the nine and a pitcher, I think. That was pretty good. I mean, it was a perfectly fair trade, and then I got the number one. But you were so easy to deal with, and you knew what you wanted, too. You were sure I think his name was Coy. Something Coy or Coy something was the...
Coy Boykin,
yeah, was the shortstop.
Yeah.
And you were confident he was going to drop to nine, and we kind of talked about it, And I wasn't sure he was going to drop to 9. I thought he'd go like 2 or 3 because he was that good. And we made the trade, and I got Edgar Atkinson, who is...
I noticed a lot of the owners ahead of me either didn't have scouting or weren't the greatest drafters, so...
Yeah, because even he could have even gone number one.
And, he could have, yeah, but the guy you got was pretty darn good.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, he's good. And then he dropped to 9, and you got him, and it was like one of those trades that
worked out perfectly. Yeah, and I think I won one World Series in the league.
You did, against the Chicago White Sox.
Right.
Yeah.
Town.
Yeah, that was a good trade, and you're really easy to deal with. It was like 1 p.m. back and forth, and the trade was done.
I mean,
for
the thing I feel like is that I'm usually really easy to deal with, but then there's owners it's painful to deal with. So I don't know if that's on me or on them. But
no, it has to be on them, because I think you're really easy to trade with, and I consider myself to be pretty easy to trade with. Who's the most difficult person to trade with right now?
I just had one of the most painful trades of my life with P-Stans.
Oh, really?
Damn him. Trying to think who else. Rando's sometimes easy to deal with and sometimes really hard. He goes back and forth, I think.
Depends on how high he is.
Right, of course. Peyton's really easy to deal with. I'm trying to think who's really, really hard. Super Big Red.
See, I never heard of this guy before. I gotta find what league are you in with him? I gotta look him up quick.
I mean, now I don't know if he dropped all of his leagues with me because he hates me. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's like your arch enemy.
There's my Ryan Braun is the greatest player of all time.
All right, got it.
Yeah.
So.
He had some controversial things with me in MLB League. You could probably find the thread. There's a thread with him posting. I mean, it was like a 70-post thread where he started a thread about how a deal I made with a new owner was unfair. But, like, everyone else thought it was fair. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
I am busy. I'll be out soon.
You're right.
Everybody be quiet. That's his mom.
Well, anyway.
Did I get you in trouble?
No, not really.
Are you grounded?
Anyway.
So, Super Big Red, I'm kind of looking for him. I can't find him.
Super Big Red 1960 is his full username.
Huh.
There's
no way to look for him in the game, is there? You gotta look him up by the forum, don't you?
You can actually Google search CSFBL space Super Big Red 1960.
Look at
Or he's in Little League with me. I mean, you can just click on Little League.
Oh, there you go. Sure.
Pretty sure he's in that league, although he was threatening to drop that recently, so... About another trade. He was threatening to drop over the deal I made with Stan, which was, of course, really painful to make. Yeah, so he has a lot of teams if you look at his franchise. He's proof that you don't have to have only 10, because he's 25.
Yeah, he's your archenemy then.
I mean, to some extent, but I mean, he's not exactly competitive in most of his leagues. So
he's not a very good owner either. Yeah, when Rando was talking about him, I thought he was talking about Reds, but he was talking about this guy, Super Big Red. I got him now.
Big difference between Reds and him.
Yeah, God, he does have 20 teams.
Yeah.
And he's like in every wanting league, you know? None of the big leagues. It's just like all of... They're all private leagues, but...
Right, although I remember he did join Chi Beta Federation briefly. He drops leagues after, like, 5 seasons, so...
Yeah, so... So what do we got to do in TCL to get you there more in the forums?
I've been trying to figure out what it is you guys are wanting me to post more about. And the other, the thing is that
TCL's just an active place. We just want you to come in and talk trash.
All my other leagues are like PM center, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just...
And very game-focused.
Well, I mean, LAG definitely has a very active forum environment, and CF does to some extent, too. But I'm not the most active poster in either of those leagues either, so I don't know.
But you've been pretty active with your team?
TCL?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just sold pretty much everything because I just want to kind of start over. TCL is actually my one non-playoff team in my whole franchise.
Oh, really? You got to fix that.
I will, but I mean, it takes... I mean, I feel like the team I got was a little bit on the older side, so...
Now, let me ask you this.
I dealt Cole for too little, I must say. I did not get enough on him.
I know you didn't, because did you see how much I traded to get him?
Yeah, he got more for Cole a year later from you than I did...
3 years later. But I needed him.
Later, yeah.
Like, I'm not afraid to overpay to get really big superstars like that, because I think that's how you win, is getting guys like that, so...
Huh. That's not actually my... I actually trade away guys like that a lot of times.
Really?
I just traded away a guy that I would consider maybe the best pitcher in CSFBL history, or one of the best anyway, Franklin Norrell in CF. He's the best postseason pitcher in CSFBL history by ERA.
That's a real stat?
Yeah. By ERA, he's the best... among guys in leagues with a commissioner and a live draft.
What was his name again?
Franklin Norrell. He's on Rando's team right now.
I'm looking him up on your leader page.
I mean, he's won like 7 championships for 3 separate teams.
All right. I got him here.
Like 11 Cy Youngs.
This guy isn't as good as Cole.
He's not as good. I don't agree with that. I mean, no. He's not as good strikeout-wise as Cole.
I mean,
I don't know.
He has similar ERA, similar whips.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe Cole's better. Dan has a guy, David Payne, in Earth Baseball. He's an amazing pitcher, too. But I don't know if any of these guys are going to beat Frank Colon or whatever.
Yeah, or Sean Ruddick.
Sean Ruddick. I mean, Sean Ruddick isn't necessarily a fairly made player or whatever. But
yeah, well, he's kind of like the steroid era, right? You
got right.
You got to keep him in there, but everybody right. knows that there's a big asterisk by him.
Right.
So, do you think you're kind of tanking a little bit in TCL right now?
I guess it depends on what your definition of tanking is. I'm trying to win games.
Right. Really yeah. There you go.
Really
you're
hard
with me
trying
on
to win. I'm really hard trying to not miss minimum wins.
As long as you don't miss minimum wins, the term tanking should never be used. Because we set minimum
TCL
wins.
TCL has actually pretty strict minimum wins rules.
57 wins.
Yeah, I mean,
gotta hit 57.
CF is 50. LEG is, I think, 50 in 1 year.
You gotta
so.
Hit 57, or you lose the number one pick. That is a big strike, and you get a strike.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna have to buy something now that I think about it. I mean, I'm at like 39 right now, and most of those are before I dealt away half my team to Boise.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Now I have like my low minors pitching wise is really good, so I'm really excited to have that pitching staff in a few years.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as you're hitting win minimums, it's not tanking. It can't be tanking because that's called the competitiveness rule in the compendium, and if you're hitting the win minimums, then you're competitive.
One thing that I've always wondered is what is the definition of tanking? Because Rando's definition is if you're below 75 wins, you're tanking. That's basically what he says. And I'm like, that is just so false.
Yeah.
But I think as long as you're trying to win, I think it's not tanking. Unless you're actually actively trying to lose games, I don't see that as tanking.
Well, somebody said, I think it was Pimp, said that you had a bad third baseman as your shortstop in TCL. But when I looked, you have a shortstop playing shortstop there. So I don't know what he was referring to.
Maybe I had that for like a game or two, but after the trade, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
The Boise, I don't know.
Yeah, that might have been it. But I would consider that tanking. If you're playing people out of position or the real secret, and I'm not going to say who I know does this all the time, is to mess with your manager settings. That way nobody can see you move anything on your... But you move up...
That makes sense, yeah.
You know, you move up the fatigue on your pitchers. You move up the fatigue on your hitters. So you're constantly playing people out of position.
Yeah, I've done that in preparation for the playoffs before.
Yeah.
But never done that as a real tanking method.
There is a guy in TCL that does it all the time, and you know who you are. You're listening to this. You tanker. Your secret tanker.
Yeah, I mean, every conversation I have with Rando involves him calling me and Tino tankers.
Yeah.
He calls Tino a tanker a lot because Tino keeps winning championships in leg, and Rando likes pointing out that Tino did it by tanking.
Boise called Tino a tanker, too. They have a big rivalry in leg.
Yeah.
All right, so one other thing for you.
Hold on one sec.
Okay. We just got him grounded for another week.
Well, I had to get my dog. I'm just having problems with him.
What kind of what's the dog's name?
So I don't know if you can see my dog.
Yeah,
but
I can see him.
His name is Mulligan.
Mulligan. Nice.
And I'm sure that. So are you catching my mom's voice on this?
A little bit. I couldn't hear what she said, but I heard her say something through the door.
Yeah, she's mad because she got me an omelet and it's getting cold.
Oh, so we'll wrap this thing up.
What? No, no worries.
It sounded like your mom had an English accent.
What?
It sounded like your mom had an English accent.
I don't think so.
No,
but...
all right. Well, see, that's, I couldn't hear it that well. All right, so, yeah, let's wrap it up so you can get going to do your thing. This is your free time. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about, that you wanted to say, talk about somebody, something, break some more news? The floor is yours.
I don't know.
Nothing.
Definitely excited about rebuilding in TCL.
Yeah.
I want to say that I hope that Jelly does not kick me out.
He's not going to kick you out. He's all bluster. Guy should kick himself out. For being a jerk.
So... and I'll be sure to give you my franchise password.
Yeah, because I got some other thoughts.
Drop my teams besides TCL.
Yep,
I assume that's the idea.
And I'm gonna get the password to Cooperstown Finest, and I'm gonna kick out Rando, and I'm gonna take his team.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right.
I might need to get into that.
You should
league.
Definitely join the waiting list. There.
Yeah.
Did you actually join National League while we were on the?
No. Actually, I left to go look at something. But I like that idea of, God, I got to get out of TCL some more because all of these ideas are really good. Now I want to get into GOAT, Cooperstown Finest, and National League.
Why? Well, GOAT's like impossible to get into because like every owner is probably going to stay.
Years.
Yeah.
Those money hungry.
Yeah.
Peyton fan always. If you're listening.
Yes, I think Smittius won the money the first year.
Of course he did. He probably tweeted about it, too.
He tweeted about himself winning.
Shameless, that guy. all right, cool. Well, thank you again for being willing to get yourself in trouble just to be on this podcast. It is much appreciated. Go eat your omelet, and thanks for being on here.
Yeah, all right, good to be here.
All right, man, take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.